House of Groove. It's going well. I've been seeing the reviews. I love the CD. It's just so smooth and just easy. So how has it been going so far?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually amazed. I mean, this is my 8th CD now. And, you know what, you know, people are going to take to and like and dislike. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, I kind of do what I do and what I'm feeling at the time, and it seems that this new one is being received really well. So I'm so happy and blessed. This one's doing well and hanging at the top of the charts. So I'm just really blessed.
So I see that you, it says there are a couple of nice vocal collaborations on the press release on this album, including one with Jeffrey Osborne. There's some gospel on there. So let's talk a little bit about some of the songs there and working with Jeffrey Osborne.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the second time that we've collaborated on something. He did something on my Born to Groove album, which was, you know, oh my gosh, 2007 or something like that. So it's been a while, and I ran into him, and I think he was probably just being nice to me when he said, "Yeah, let's do another song." And I was okay if he suggested it. I'm going to jump on it. So I ran home and started doing a slip track a little bit. I echoed my son in on the song and started, you know, collaborating back and forth, emails back and forth to each other, and you know, he knocked it out of the park. So it's always great to work with him.
That's great. Anyone else you want to acknowledge on the CD that you work with? Some instrumentalists? Anyone else?
Yeah, and you know, there's another singer on there that I worked with for the first time, Kioma. She sings on Room Number 10, or Track 10, and I'd actually gotten her involved with her to do the co-write. I'd written the track to that, and I knew I wanted it to be a vocal song, so I needed somebody to, you know, to write lyrics to it. And she just wrote this thing that nobody else could sing. So, you know, I asked her if she was interested in doing the performance for the album, and she said sure, and I think she's amazing. So I have a feeling we'll be hearing a lot more from her to come.
Right. Your track listing, that's good. Your track listing, Knock Knock, Who's There, House of Grooves, Fellowship Hall, God Bless You, Lamping It, Old EDU or Old School.
OLD.edu.
Amen. And then Indian Summer, Never Met a Woman Like You, Faithful Central, It's Only Rain. So this indeed has a sense of a little gospel, a vibe of spiritual vibes in this, I see.
Yeah, I kind of started on that quest again on the Born to Groove album, and you know, I keep getting a little further into it each time. And you know, message aside, I'm not trying to preach to anybody, but message aside, I mean, I love gospel music.
It's kind of like the root to a lot of the soul, gospel and blues and jazz, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, all that music, all the jazz and the blues and soul music, it all started in the church, you know, and it's a big sense that they're kind of at the forefront of it. So much of the R&B today is just, you know, it's all programmed and synthesized and not real organic music. And then you listen to the gospel music, and it's innovative and creative and it's organic. And, you know, I just love it. Like I said, you know, guys like Israel Houghton, I mean, I just, you know, Fred Hammond, I love this guy. So they're very inspiring to me musically. A message aside, you know, you can take your own message out of it that you want to take from the meaning of gospel music, but the music on its own is just incredible.
That's great. You are a saxophonist, composer, producer, and DJ. This is great. So how do you multitask your day?
NFM was one of the early internet stations. I mean, 10, 12 years ago, they started doing internet radio, and they have a lot of different formats, smooth jazz, smooth jazz 24/7. That's their obviously that's their smooth jazz station, and that's the only one that they have that's DJed. And I got approached to do it a little over a year ago, and I've just been having a ball with this, and great to be able to connect with people that way.
That's great. Your new music is doing very well on the charts, and I wanted to. We always like to talk about the importance of music education and sharing that message with our schools and with our instructors and just officials in general, and students and children and those who want to get involved. Is music education, obviously it is, but is music education important to you? And if so, what's your message out to the public about this? Because a lot of times, unfortunately, a lot of schools are having to cut back because of budget woes and things like that. But many schools are keeping it going strong. So what's your message to folks about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really incredible to me that, you know, it's the same old story. I mean, I was hearing about budget cutbacks when I was in you know, school band in the 70s, you know, right?
So right.
It's always been the same thing. And I grew up with an absolutely amazing music program. I mean, I think there were 180 kids in my high school marching band. You know, and we had, you know, jazz programs, two different jazz programs and concert band. There's all kinds of music going on. And you don't see that in a lot of districts these days, you know. And what's really interesting is when I go out and play certain areas, like Michigan, it's still very much in the program up in Michigan. Down in Florida, it's very much in the programs down in Florida. And I'll play concerts and see younger kids there. And oftentimes, the band directors will contact me about doing a clinic before or after the concert, which I'm more than happy to do. You know, it's very important from, you know, even the perspective, I mean, it's been indisputable that kids that are in music and study music like that, their test scores do well. I think it's a real cop-out attitude that these districts say, oh, we have to cut music, we can't afford that, as they dump more into, you know, aggressive sports like football, where kids get, you know, brain injuries. It's crazy to me. So, I don't think you can exclude one from the other. I think that you have to support the arts and support athletics.
That's right. And see, you went to University of Miami, correct?
University of Miami, yes. Great music school down there.
Wow. And also, you've worked with, I mean, the best. Of course, you are among the best, and the best with the best. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Tina Turner. You've worked with just Huey Lewis in the News and Tower of Power and many, many more through the years. So what is it like to your music and to express your music with these other great pioneers of jazz and music in general, such as yourself? What does it feel like for you?
I had a very lucrative, you know, sideman career before I started the solo thing. I actually got into the solo side of things probably pretty late. You know, my first album didn't come out until 2000. And for someone of my age, my late 30s at the time, that was kind of late. A lot of the guys were getting into it in their early 20s, the solo thing. I think I was out kind of learning from all of those people. I had a great time on the road with them and kind of adapting what I did, you know, to their different styles. But, I mean, I learned so much from each of those artists. I mean, you know, Tina was just so classic and she knew what she wanted and she wasn't afraid to orchestrate out what she wanted, and she never settled for anything less than she wanted. So, you know, you learn things like that. You learn how to treat the audience. You learn how to put together a show. You learn it's a much higher level of musicianship on those stages, and so you learn to bring that into your own thing. So, in many ways, I'm glad I didn't start out early, because I have a feeling that part of my education would have been lacking, and I would have missed a lot of opportunities there.
Right. Now, you mentioned about the importance of being positive. I love this quote. When I was reading the press release, you mentioned, I'll see if I can find it. You said you don't deal with the stress. It's not that you don't deal with stress or anxiety, but at almost 50 years young, I think I've better learn how to separate worrying about things that I can change and not worrying about those I cannot. So many of us really needed to hear that. So in your music, what do you want people to get out of your music in terms of ease and relaxing and just life in general?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think right now, especially in this country, I mean, we are so divided. I'd like to think we'd come together, and I was really hoping this election would kind of, you know, chill people out a little bit and go, okay, it's over, let's move on. And it's not just the worst. I mean, it's the opposite thing, and I think you receive what energy you put out there. And, a lot of people are putting out, this negative energy and divide and how bad the economy and the United States is going to fall. You put that out there, you're going to make the stuff come true. So we all just kind of need to relax, take a deep breath. You know, I have this policy I started at the beginning of this year, No Bad News Fridays. So if you have any bad, if you have bad, you have to deliver it to me. Deliver it on Monday, because I don't want you to wreck my weekend. I can feel better over the weekend. weekend. So just hold on to it, and you know, and save it, and then don't call me at 7 o'clock Friday night with the, you know, with an issue. Call me on Monday morning, and I'm nice and rested from the weekend, and we'll deal with it. And you know, so that's kind of the attitude I brought into it. Don't deal with things that you can't take care of. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, anything from whatever it is, if it's a bill that's overdue, or you know, a health matter, and you can't take care of it at that moment. I mean, just relax and try to smile through it. Enough of the negativity, people. Everybody lighten up and listen to some great music and relax.
That's important. That's so important. So what now? You're on tour, and we can catch you at your website. What's your website and your Facebook page and Twitter and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I don't tweet. I'm not a tweeter.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Okay. My regular website is hugegroove.com, hugegroove.com, huge is short for Eugene, of course, and my Facebook is facebook.com/hugegroove, so pretty easy to get to both of those, and you know, and I try to stay active. I have a lot of fun with, again, you know, in this day and age, you know, to be able to reach out and talk to and kind of, you know, shake hands with the people that, you know, that listen to your music is incredible.
Very good. And what times can we catch you on smoothjazz247.com?
Yeah, I'm on there every Thursday, and it starts at 4 o'clock p.m. On the West Coast, so 7 o'clock on the East Coast in the evening, and then it's rebroadcast 12 hours later. So it's 7 a.m. airing in the East Coast and noon in the U.K. So, it you know, goes out around the world, and there's listeners all the way around the world. So it's an incredible thing.
Okay, very good. That's a huge groove with the House of Groove. Thank you so much for the interview. We really appreciate it. And we'll get this posted on smoothjazztimes.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much.